Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 14. In verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, sometimes we think of this as being simply things in our lives or things in church or things that we do outwardly, but it's really much more than that. It's really about every thought that we have. It's about every activity that we undertake, whether it's outward or private or public or maybe a thought process. Whatever you do, it doesn't matter how big or small. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, some people say that the order of priorities, which is one of the most important orders there is to be Jesus, others, and then us, ourselves. This is not true. As a matter of fact, it's not even possible. If you put others ahead of yourself and you make it Jesus, others, and yourself as your priority, you'll never be able to sustain that. That will not work. It doesn't matter how hard you try. It will not work. The order must always be Jesus, yourself, and then others. You have to love yourself, for example, before you can love anyone else. If you try to love somebody else without really loving yourself first, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. You may be able to keep it up for a while, but eventually you're going to get frustrated. It's going to become too much of a burden, and eventually that love will have its share of issues. It won't actually be love. It'll be an effort, but it'll be a frustrating effort. In 1 John 4:19, we love God because He first loved us. So, okay, yes, Jesus first. Jesus I love first. And why do I love Him first? Because I let Him first love me. If Jesus loves me, then I receive love. Then I have it. But if I don't let Him love me first, then I won't possess love for Him or anyone else. So the place where I get love, sometimes a lot of people in the world enter into some terrible mistakes, terrible sins in some cases, because they don't know where to get love. But the place where I receive real love is from God. I don't look for it from other people. That's a common mistake. I don't look for it from other people. Because some people simply don't have it, don't possess it to give. It's like asking somebody to give you $1 million, but all they have is 50 cents. They won't have the ability. And so, if I receive love from God, then I have love to give, both to God and to somebody else. And then also in 1 John 4:11, John says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Again, us receiving love before we can love somebody else. Sometimes people take on the attitude of, I can't put myself ahead of you in terms of love. That's silly. That's foolish. It's like saying, I can't be equipped for the task that is at hand. Well, if you're not equipped for the task that is at hand, how in the world are you going to carry it out? You can't. So you have to become equipped for the task that is at hand in order to carry that task out. Likewise with God, it's the same way. If I'm to love anyone, I have to possess love first, because I cannot give what I don't have. The only place where I can receive it is from God Himself. Now, sometimes the world uses love as a way of manipulation. They'll say, I will love you so long as you do what I want. And if you do what I want, then I'll be nice to you, then I'll be loving toward you, then I'll be kind toward you, then I'll be sweet toward you. But if you stop doing what I want, then I'll be nasty to you. That's not love. That's using it as though it was money, like currency. But it's not love. Love never has a cost. Love is simply received and then freely given because it was freely received. God is the source of it, so it's not like He's charging or requiring or putting any kind of conditions or requirements on receiving the love. He simply gives it to anybody who will receive it. Not everybody will receive it, but everybody who will, who is willing to receive it, they will get it. It will be given to them. And God makes that promise to us. So you go to God and you get love from God. And only then will you have the ability to give love to somebody else. Now, when I say love, please remember I'm not talking about an emotion. Sometimes people think, well, we're supposed to love God or love people, but I don't feel any love toward them. And if I don't feel any love, how can I give love? Love is not a feeling. They don't actually know what love is when they say, I have to feel love. Love in 1 Corinthians 13, where it's defined, is first patience and then it's kindness. That's not a feeling. None of those characteristics of love that 1 Corinthians 13 describes is a feeling. Sometimes people get love confused with affection, which is a feeling. Affection will often come where there is love, but it doesn't have to, and it's not required. So if I have love, what I have is something that I've received from God. I've received patience and kindness from God, and then I have patience and kindness to give. Now, when I get patience and kindness, that means I first have to be put into a position where I need patience and kindness. If I'm doing great and I'm not making any mistakes and nothing is challenging me, nothing is difficult for me, everything is simple, I'm in a really good time, then it's really kind of hard to receive love in many respects because I don't need patience at that time and I don't particularly need kindness. I'll appreciate them, but I don't need them. That's why in Romans 5, 3 to 5, love is produced in challenges, in difficult times. Not that those times are overwhelmingly difficult, but there's a challenge to be had in those times, and that's where God really reveals His love for us, in the difficult times. He loves us just as much in the easy times, don't get me wrong. That doesn't change. But where I really get to experience it, where I really get to see it, is in the challenging times. Because that's when I really need it. If I'm at a time when it's a little bit tough for me and I'm more prone to making mistakes because I don't really know how to handle everything, that's where patience and kindness really make the difference. And God gives it to us every single time. There's never a time, good or bad, doesn't matter, difficult or easy, that God will not be patient and kind toward you. But the time that you really see it is in the challenging times. And that's when you receive it, and once you've received it, you have it to give. Now, in receiving the love of God, you have to be a little bit careful. Really, the love of God is all about maturity. That's where maturity comes from. This is how we develop maturity. Really, maturity is when a person loves at all times. I'm mature when I don't think about me. I think about the love that I've received. Now, I can't do that without first receiving the love, so the order still does hold. That order is important. As a matter of fact, it happens because of that order. But I'll achieve maturity when I've learned to love at all times. Because at all times in that situation, I'll have the character of God. Tribulations, trials, difficulties, challenges, big or small, it doesn't matter. God's the one who designs them. Those are designed to produce love in me and therefore maturity in me. And so we get this love from God, but we have to be careful because we are in a challenging time. The devil can try to take advantage of challenging times. The devil can try to condemn somebody if they make mistakes or if they sin or if they fail, where God doesn't condemn anybody in Romans 8:1. But the devil may try to say, oh, look at you. Look at what a mess you are. Look at how badly you're doing. You'll never be what you're supposed to be. And he'll tell you all this baloney. And it's pure baloney. It's nonsense. That's not from God. It's a lie. God doesn't look for what you're supposed to be. God makes you into what you are. What do you mean, what you're supposed to be? Do you think that God got it wrong? Well, Satan will say he did, but Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. If he's talking, he's lying. When we go through these things and we're in the love-receiving process, be careful that it's not sidelined. Be careful that Satan does not steal it from you. And the way that you do that, the way that you're careful about that, is in 1 Corinthians 10:5. You cast down the imaginations and high things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is simply doctrine, above the things that you've learned from the Bible, from your teacher, from your pastor. And so you don't accept any thought that contradicts what God says. If it contradicts the heart of God, if it contradicts the Word of God, don't accept it. Cast it down. That word cast in the original language is to hurl it, to throw it violently away from yourself. So you cast it down, you hurl it away from yourself, you throw it as hard as you can away from yourself. Satan says to you in a whisper, or maybe through somebody's voice who is available to repeat what he whispers to them, you're less than, you'll never be what you should be. Maybe he criticizes you. You don't accept it, you throw it away from yourself with violent force. You may be kind to that person because they don't know what they're doing often. But you say to yourself, that's nonsense. That's not true. Sometimes when people will say negative things about me, and every pastor has this happen to them, at times my response is to them outwardly and always it is inwardly, oh, now I know what the devil thinks about me. Why? Because that's exactly what it is. Satan is the accuser, so if I'm being accused, I know it's Satan that's doing the accusing, and he may be borrowing somebody's voice box to do it. But you take every thought, and you bring it into captivity. In other words, you make sure that it stays exactly as it should be in the obedience of Christ. That means that it's in agreement with the Word of God. And if it's not in agreement with the Word of God, then you don't accept it, you don't keep it, you don't think about it, you throw it away. And I don't care who it comes from. It doesn't matter who the source is, ultimately the source is the enemy. Now this does require disciplined thinking. Nowadays a lot of people don't like this thought, disciplined thinking. Unfortunately, there's a lot of lazy thinkers in the world. and lazy thinkers will be opened to anything that the enemy has to say to them. You see, disciplined thinking in verse 4 gives you an advantage over the devil. Because it's not against people. It doesn't matter who it is that's saying it. They're not the ones behind it. They might be in agreement. They might allow it. But they're not the source of it. You're dealing with sources. And so, while you can still be kind to the person, express the love and kindness that God has given you to them, you don't receive what they say. This is how you become mature. Because God's character is built in you by that process. In James 4:8, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. If you draw near to Him in the Word of God, in prayer, in meditation, just dwell on the love of God. Just dwell on the Word of God. Think about it. Like you hear it in church, don't just let it escape you. Don't just give it away to the details of the day. No, keep it. Think about it. Ponder it. The Word of God is not just for church. The Word of God is for your entire life. Because you're always a believer. The Holy Spirit is always in you. You're always the body of Christ. It's for your entire life, not just for church. So draw near to God all the time and He will draw near to you. You get the Word of God all the time and He will draw near to you. You pray all the time and He will draw near to you. You meditate on the Word of God all the time and He will draw near to you. And you express what He's given you all the time, and He will draw near to you. The result of that is that you're going to have a way without mistakes. That's what it means in the last part of that verse. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. It simply means you're going to walk in faith. You're not going to enter into failures apart from faith. That's how they come. You're going to walk in faith. And it will be easy for you. Because you're thinking with the Word of God and purify your hearts. In other words, your frame of reference will be completely pure. You won't be cluttered with other thoughts when you have the Word of God in your thinking. You won't be what the Word of God says is double-minded, and another word for that is carnal. You won't be carnal. You won't be worldly. You won't be against God in your thinking. You'll be with God. You'll be in agreement with Him. God knows all things. Tell me, what is it that you want to disagree with? I'll guarantee you, you're wrong. Because God knows all things. 1 John 3:20. As a part of this thinking, an important part, in Jude 21, keep yourselves in the love of God by looking for mercy. Your life is going to be always with some form of a challenge, not all the time, 100%, but a lot of the time. And it doesn't have to be a severe challenge, but sometimes it will be. That's just the nature of being human. At all times, look for the mercy of God. Look for God to be kind to you. Look to Him to be good to you, to be gentle with you. At all times. Don't ever expect that God is going to beat you up because of something you may have done. That's not how He is, and that's not how He does things. When I make a mistake, in Jeremiah 31:3, He will answer by showing me loving kindness. Because that's what draws us out of our mistakes, is loving kindness. He'll never criticize you. He'll never badger you, but He will go after you with loving kindness. That loving kindness is impossible to resist. God will never quit on you. He'll always follow you with loving kindness. David said, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life," because of the love that God is constantly trying to pour out on you. When you think with the Word of God, and you possess the love of God. That's where spirituality comes from. You could redefine spirituality as that maturity. In other words, you're thinking with God. The Holy Spirit has freedom to do what He wants to with you, in you also. In John 16:13, He guides you in all truth, and He's free to guide you in all truth. We're not hindering Him. We're not fighting Him on it. We're not blocking His hand. Because we're thinking with the Word of God, and we're thinking with the love of God. When that takes place, in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 15, it says there the spiritual person discerns all things. You're going to have unique special insight from the Holy Spirit into all things. It may be people, it may be circumstances, whatever it is. Because the Holy Spirit is guiding you in all truth, you have deeper understanding, you have deeper insight, you have what's called discernment, which is that insight. And it comes from the Holy Spirit, and it'll show you the true nature of things. A discerning person will often recognize the true nature of other people. Somebody says something, does something, acts a certain way, but the discerning person will be able to tell whether it's real or whether it's fake. Somebody says something to you, and a discerning person will be able to tell whether it's true or whether it's a lie. Discernment is really unique, and it's very useful, it's very valuable. And it's given to the person who is spiritual. It's given to the person who thinks with the Word of God and with the love of God. Not just one or the other. Both are required. When you have discernment, when you think with the Word of God, when you think with the love of God, when you've received the love of God and you've allowed God's love to produce maturity in you, both through the character and the mind of Christ, when that takes place, when this is where you are, when you get to this point of maturity, and it's not hard to get to, you just don't resist God in the process, and He'll get you there. Then Revelation 3:8 says that He sets a door open before you, and no one can shut it. And He does that because you have a little bit of strength because of the maturity, love, and Word in your thinking. You keep His Word. You hold it in your heart. By keeping it, it doesn't necessarily mean you produce something outwardly. It means that you hold it and you respond to it. And you don't deny His character. That's what it means to not deny His name. You don't deny His character. In other words, you embrace the character of God in your life and in the life of other people. When that takes place, when that maturity is present, God will open all kinds of doors for you. He'll take you into all kinds of places. Places perhaps you've never imagined. And He'll be able to use you like you never thought you could be used. You'll experience things that you've never thought you could experience. You go to places, you'll talk to people, you'll meet people you never thought you would meet before. God says we'll stand before kings. And indeed, some people, a lot of them who are willing, who are in this place, they stand before kings. I know a fellow who had this working in his life. He was a missionary to Cuba, of all places. And he got to witness to Fidel Castro, of all people. He stood before kings. He wasn't trying. He wasn't looking to see, okay, how can I get to see Fidel Castro? No, what he did was he simply thought with God, thought with the love of God, developed that maturity in his life, and God started opening all kinds of doors he never expected. For those of you who are young, who might not know who Fidel Castro is, Until recently when he died, he was the president of Cuba. You meet all kinds of people. Because God will open doors when love and the word produces maturity in you. And it'll produce that maturity if we're simply willing to receive it. You can't be something to somebody else that God has not given you first. You cannot give what you don't have. So you receive it from God, and then He'll give you the opportunity to give it out to others. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.
If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept your gift of mercy and what you have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die and give me a relationship with you now as you come into my heart and live.